100 years since the fall of the Khilafah. What the authors of the post-World War I global order thought were concepts and configurations they had set in stone are now rapidly being challenged and unraveled.
These borders that were drawn, they aren't as secure. I mean, the whole thing about the Arab Spring, the whole thing about the Syria conflict was people seeing, you know what, this is just not as...
That model doesn't work.
That model, we can't expect that model is going to be the future model. Yeah. The Zionist occupation of Palestine absolutely is not secure. If the West were not backing that Zionist occupation, it's not secure. So the story in the Muslim world is it's still unstable and it's not gone down the trajectory, because the trajectory was, we'll divide up these countries, we'll control them politically directly, and then in the end we'll control them through other means. And it hasn't really happened. And it's still a recipe for chaos.
The sense conveyed by this general uneasiness at the state of the world is that we are experiencing the birth pangs for the restoration of the equilibrium and the correcting of historical injustices. On one level, the Muslim world still appears mired in crises, with the bleakest of headlines emerging everywhere. Yet, if the fog lifts a bit, the extent of change in the Muslim world over the past century becomes strikingly apparent.
So they fooled us. They took over our land. They installed puppet governments everywhere. And Muslims and Arabs became divided. The Arabs hate the Turk hate the Arabs, and so on. 1924, Ataturk declares that the Khilafah is over. We don't even want the name. And Turkey is not part of the Muslim world anymore. We want to be part of Europe. We don't want this Arabic language. We don't want the Arabic letters. And even Azan will be said in Turkish. So yeah, what is lower than this? We reached the ground, halas, no more.
In my humble reading of Islamic history, one of the lowest of the lows of the Ummah happened in 1914 onwards. Can you imagine hearing the Brits have taken Damascus, the Brits have taken Baghdad, the Brits and the French have marched into Istanbul, right to the gates of the Ottoman Khalifa, literally surrounding the Ottoman palace. Can you imagine, right? Can you imagine the distress hearing the Ottoman Caliphate has been abolished? If we had been alive at this time, wallahi, it would be like one stab after another.
But they plan and they plot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plots. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of plotters. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ 1924, Islam has no representation. Muslims were so weak. Scholars did not work for Islam truly. Very few names here and there. Few names, but individuals. No collective work. Nobody who would collect the Muslims together. Let's work for Islam. And suddenly, great names among the scholars again come back. See, many people are waiting for politicians to lead us. That doesn't happen. It did not happen in the past. It has always to start with scholars, and then with the masses, and then with the leaders. كَمَا تَكُونُوا يُوَلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. As you are, you will be led. So there must be a movement among the masses first. Who would do the movement among the masses? It is the scholars.
In my humble analysis, we see now a revival, alhamdulillah, that is pleasing to the hearts. Yes, politically painful. Politically, Syria, look. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give them sabr and patience and overthrow this Alawi regime that has destroyed the land of the Muslims. But that is politics. How about the people? How about the sha'b? How about the sahwa? How about the enthusiasm of the ummah? Alhamdulillah, we see Muslims coming back to their religion. We see Muslims wanting to study, learn, pray. We see Muslims identifying with Islam, feeling Islamic. And this is optimism that did not exist in 1918.
the unprecedented challenges the Ummah has had to grapple with since 1924 and the suffering and humiliation that it has had to endure has strengthened it, produced new movements, seen rectification of false notions, and sparked an awakening.
Alhamdulillah, 100 years have gone by and the Ummah is still alive and healthy. The Ummah is strong and powerful in its own way, not in the way that it maybe would have been. Look around you. If you know the history of the last century, it is very true to point out that in the immediate generation after the collapse of the Khilafah, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, there is no doubt that overall religiosity suffered and religious thought really did seem to wane. It was affected. But 80s, 90s, and now this generation, there is no question that there has been a resurgence of the highest order. There is a powerful revival underway. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seeing the effects of this revival. We are seeing raw iman across the globe, from Alaska to Zambia, from China all the way to the coast of South America. Everywhere we look at, we find Muslim communities thriving in the circumstances that they could never have imagined 3 centuries ago, 1 century ago. Places where even in this land now, mosques are flourishing in so many cities. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Every single major city of the globe, masjids are being constructed. Mosques are jam-packed every single Friday and every single prayer of Taraweeh in Ramadan. This was not the case in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Read the books of history. We are seeing the revival, a global awakening of the spirit of Islam, which is pure iman. It's not based upon civilization. It's not based upon politics. It is based in genuine faith in our Lord, belief in our Quran, love of our Prophet.
What is the message of all of these people? The only hope for us is Islam. Islam is not only worship. Islam is a way of life. Islam is politics, economics, international law, judiciary system, social life. Islam is in every part of our life. We must rise back. For the first time, the Islamic revival is everywhere. In the past, you could see some revival in Libya maybe, and then it dies, or Sudan, and then dies, or Bangladesh, or dies, and so on. But for the first time in 600 years, wherever you go in the Islamic world and non-Islamic world, you see Muslims coming back to their deen. You see young men and women committed to Islam. When this happens, brothers and sisters, then we know that we are turning the tide back. I see it as much as I see you.
Youth are developing a new awareness, and the past century has also seen the revival and strengthening of particular Islamic sciences and disciplines.
For the first time, Muslims have Muslim organizations in politics, in economics, Muslim banks, Muslim media, Muslim newspapers, Muslim satellites, etc. Every area, Muslim women organization, children organization. You see this all over. This is the tide coming up.
A portent of this awakening can be found in how the discourse of the Muslim world has shifted from a fixation with foreign ideologies and irreligiousness to an open embrace of Islam.
Look at the ideas in society. Back in the 50s and 60s, for those of you who remember or for those of you who've read about it, you'll find that Muslims used to call for Islamic socialism. Socialism back then was as much of a call as people today call for democracy. And democracy is, by the way, man-made legislation. Man is the legislator. Whereas Islam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the legislator. Democracy says Islam that man is sovereign. Whereas Islam, where the Quran and Sunnah say, Allah azza wa jalla is sovereign. So look at how far the Ummah has come in terms of them wanting Islam and understanding Islam. And one of the greatest proofs is when you see the uprisings in the Muslim world. What was the theme of all these uprisings? When you talk to the Muslim around the world, what do they want? They want the Khilafah, they want Islam.
Al-Iraq at the day was a Ba'ath government that was officially secular.
officially against religion, and the Iraqi people that I knew of were the furthest away from religion among the Arab people. And they took secularism seriously, and they took Ba'ath seriously. They were purely nationalist. Khorasan, at the time, probably the Afghani Jihad didn't start yet, and it was communist. So what good can come out of communism? Afghanistan is communist. So that's the second place. Third place is Sham. And the center of Sham is Palestine. And the Palestinians that I knew would curse Allah Azza wa Jalla and curse Islam. Yani when they would talk, في سب الرب and سب الدين إلعن دينك. They would also say إلعن دينك. Curses the religion. And the reputation that they had was that of corruption, drinking, fasad. And Syria was also Ba'ath, Lebanon, yani was called the Paris of the Middle East. The parting zone was Lebanon. When Arabs want to party, they would go to Beirut. And probably you don't remember those days. Yani we're talking about 20 years ago, Allah Alam, if you were old enough to remember that, or you were following the situation in those countries then. And Al-Yemen, the part of Yemen which the Hadith talks about is the south, Aden, Abyan, and South Yemen was the only communist Arab state in the world. So I would say, yani, victory must be far, far away from now. Forget about it coming in my lifetime. SubhanAllah, within 20 years, look at where we're standing now.
There's a growing appreciation of the role that events 100 years ago, as well as a general Muslim complacency leading to that, has shaped our fate today. There is a move towards self-sufficiency, identity renewal, and, as the Arab Spring showed, an understanding that lackey Muslim regimes are one of the biggest stumbling blocks that need to be remedied for the Ummah to make decisive inroads. For this awakening to have dawned in such a relatively short while after the Muslim world was so decisively ruptured and undermined highlights but one thing, the rejuvenative power of Islam and the enduring promises of Allah.
And the reason for this, dear Muslims, the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to preserve, not the khilafah, the religion. Allah promised to preserve this religion until the day of judgment. Nothing will destroy the iman in the hearts of you and me. The khilafah can come and go, and we are sad. Wallahi, we are sad. It is a tragedy of the highest magnitude. And we wish there was some type of land that we could call a land of Islam. But even if there is no land of Islam, Islam exists in me and you. And no one, no superpower on earth, no civilization outside of our own can bring that to an end. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. This is the promise of Allah. The deen shall remain. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره. The nur of Allah will shine from coast to coast, from land to land, and nothing can ever extinguish this.
The rapid pace of development all around us and the challenges these bring are immensely daunting. But for the believers, reassurance is found in the prophetic promises that Islam will spread everywhere, and having the last prophet and final revelation, the guidance received therefrom is comprehensive.
But in the case of Islam, he told us, be aware of the fact that there will be no book, no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after Quran. First stop. So I have that as a source. So it is continuous. So whenever there is a flux, whenever there is change of the pattern of the human evolution, at least I am left right now, for now, let us agree, I'm left with one consistent factor that divinely prescribed to us as a book of guidance, even in the age of artificial intelligence and biotechnology and networking and Mars and galaxy and black holes and wormholes and interstellar. Even if tomorrow our brother is sent to Mars to establish a colony, which might be happening in the year 2032, he will find that this book is still valid as a book of guidance, even in Mars, not even on Earth. Why? Because Allah said so. He's not going to send another book. You have to figure it out. It is the book of guidance until the end of time. So that's we should establish as a major important prize for this ummah and for the world, because the book was not sent for us Muslims, annas, for the people.
Where to next? Is the abolition of the Khilafah and the chaotic vacuum it left going to be the default configuration for generations to come? Or will there be another way? As always, Muslims are never left without hope and guidance.
Great hadith. As if he is describing to us the path of history. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم تكون النبوة فيكم ما شاء الله لها أن تكون. Prophethood shall last among you as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء أن يرفعها. Then Allah will take it out when He wishes. ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة. Then shall come a khilafah, leadership, on the path of prophethood, true Islam. فتكون فيكم ما شاء الله لها أن تكون. ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء أن يرفعها. Then Allah shall raise it when He wishes. The khilafah took 30 years and it was taken away. ثم يكون ملكا عاضا. There shall after that come biting kingdoms. Biting kingdoms, as translated from Arabic, means kingdoms that will last for long periods. We saw that. The Umayyads, 130 years, the Abbasis, 400 years, and so on. Mamluki, Fatimi, Uthmani, 600 years. You see, long periods. فَيَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ. It will last among you as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ. And it is no long period kingdoms. No more. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًّا. الجبر, القوة. There shall come after that military kingdoms. Mulkan Jabriyan. How many of the Muslim countries are not led by militaries? This is a hadith 1400 years ago. And we see it. How long will this last? Will it last forever? No, it will not last forever. There's something coming after that. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكون فيكم, هذا الملك الجبري, فيكون فيكم ما شاء الله له أن يكون. This military kingdoms, these military kingdoms will last among you as long as Allah wishes. ثم يرفعه الله إذا شاء أن يرفعه. And then Allah shall take it away when He wishes. What is after this? What do we expect? See, if I gave you my speculations, my interpretation, my expectations, you might doubt it. But I'm not speaking my words now. I'm speaking the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة. There shall come after that a khilafa similar to Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali. A khilafa, he described that khilafa ala minhaj al-nubuwa, and he describes this one khilafa ala minhaj al-nubuwa, a khilafa according to the path of the prophets. Thumma sakata sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he kept quiet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't know what's after that, but we know that after this, brothers and sisters, have no doubt, Islam is coming.
Far from being wiped from the face of this earth, an Islamic awakening is in motion, and re-establishment of a just and pious Khilafah is inevitable. But an allegiance to Islam does not afford for romanticized hopes or fatalism. Victory for Islam is coming, but it requires that sincere and hard-working men and women be activated and organized for the promised divine help to descend.
You have one of two choices, either to work for it and be rewarded, or enjoy this materialistic life and miss it. يقول الله عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Fath Makkah. Fath Makkah. Before Makkah was conquered, Allah revealed very strange verses. يقول الله عز وجل لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will not be the same. Those who spend and fight before Fath. Al-Fath, he did not state which Fath. But Al-Fath, the victory is coming. Either you struggle and fight and spend before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are better than those who spend and struggle afterwards. It is, brothers and sisters, our choice. If we work for it, inshallah, it will be sooner. If we are lazy, it will take time.
Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will certainly grant them succession on earth as He has granted it to those before them, and that He will grant them the authority to practice their religion, that which He has chosen for them, and He will surely give them in exchange a safe security after their fear, provided that they worship me and do not associate anything with me. But whoever disbelieved after this, they are the rebellious, and perform salah and give zakah and obey the messenger, such that you may receive mercy. The awakening is here. Will we join the caravan? لدرب السعادة أنصار لله لنيل الشهادة أنصار لله لدرب السعادة أنصار لله هنحن الأنصار أنصار لله هنحن الأنصار أنصار لله وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون.